Well, I'm glad that we're recording this on February 2nd. So everything we're going to talk about in this podcast cannot be attributed to April Fool's, because
I think you mean April 2nd.
Well, no. Yeah. What did I say?
February.
February. See, right there. When I'm subconsciously making an April Fool's joke, and I didn't even mean to do it. Good catch, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm thinking about winter. Probably because we didn't have one. Yeah. Actually, just texting with a friend in
New
Canada
England's getting a winter.
About that. They are finally getting a late winter, but parts
big
of
snowstorm on the way.
Parts of Canada not getting snow very much at all this winter, unheard of. My friend who lives up there was texting me this morning about it, and I think that's why I have that on my mind. But anyway, on April 2nd here, no April Fool's jokes, but you know the weather has been kind of playing the joke on us since the start of spring here. I mean, we had that big surge of temperatures before spring started in the 70s. We went back into cool numbers. We started to warm up a little bit for Easter weekend, and we're back now into kind of a holding pattern that's mostly wet and cool. But we're talking about the threat for thunderstorms this week and even the threat for severe weather. But not to touch on that too much here, as people are downloading this on Wednesday and listening, we're looking at Wednesday evening as being a severe threat for Delmarva. Certainly want to tune in to us on our TV side to get the latest on that. But wanted to talk about the anniversary, though, here of the EF3 tornado that touched down a year ago on April 1st in northern Sussex County. And, Eric, I know you and Jake weren't here yet, but you were a couple months from being here, but you did know about that severe weather day.
Yeah, it was a few months before me and even Jake came aboard, so I didn't really know too much about this event. I did my little own personal research on this event, at least on the meteorological side, before coming onto this podcast for today. And some interesting things I discovered with this particular event. Now, during my time, of course, I'm familiar with I remember during the Delaware State Fair, there was a tornado warning. I don't remember if there was a confirmed tornado, but I do remember we had to come in for that. And then there was another tornado.
Dagsboro,
that yes, that's the one. That's the one I remember the most. And so those are the two tornadic events during my time. Of course, what we're talking about today was before my time. And as far as I'm concerned, it was a pretty crazy day.
Well, and you know, I like to get the perspective on people kind of coming in who weren't here, but did hear about that day. And you were witness to some of our severe weather events a couple months later in the summer. But at that point, everybody kind of on their toes in Delaware, specifically because of this event that happened on April 1st. Such a unique tornado for Delaware, ended up being the second strongest on record. I'll talk about a couple of the stats here in a moment. But that had everybody for the rest of the severe weather season, which for us here in Delmarva can go all the way into the fall. Kind of on their toes. And we did have that small tornado in Dagsboro, but a lot of people throughout the summer still were messaging us about the tornado on April 1st because the cleanup in the Sussex County area, northern Sussex County, was extensive with the damage path. And it, even to this day, is still an issue out there. Our own Chris Brunk, reporter, went up there and talked to a few folks that are still recovering a year later. And
you mentioned one of our weather watchers, Connie, right?
What's that?
You mentioned one of our weather watchers, Connie.
Yeah, weather watchers, Connie and Greenwood was a witness to those storms that day or that event that day. We had heard from her originally, too. And you can find that online at WMDT.com, by the way, that article that Chris did. But the focus on it is the fact that, you know, EF3 tornado and higher, usually you talk about what's called land scarring or, you know, damage not only to structures, but the environment, the trees, the ground, and that kind of damage, the land scarring, can still be evident sometimes several years after a tornado hits. You can drive up, you know, up toward Bridgeville in northern Sussex County, and along some of the roads there, you can still see the trees that were stripped down from that tornado. But that day, an EF3 on the scale of 0 to 5, this is the strongest on record for the state of Delaware. The only stronger tornado on record was in Newcastle County in 1961. That was a stronger EF3, or higher end EF3. The Bridgeville, what we're calling the Bridgeville Greenwood Ellendale track tornado, was the widest on record for Delaware, 700 yards. We had two 500 yard wide tornadoes during the outbreak of Visayas in 2020.
Right.
So that pushed that past. And you remember that probably just as the idea of Visayas coming up the East Coast.
Well, that was, yeah, I was in school.
Yeah,
that was a mess. Flooding, severe weather when I was in school in Connecticut, or problematic all the way up the Eastern Seaboard. I remember that.
And that was a huge event for a lot of folks. You know, another example of why when we track tropical systems, just because maybe the word hurricane or tropical storm is not in front of it, doesn't mean you can't take it seriously. And that storm system, as it was decaying, was creating all that havoc with the flooding, with the tornadoes.
A messy situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of, I wouldn't say it was a drought in Delaware with tornadoes, but for 7 years from 04 to 11, there were no tornadoes reported in Delaware. And sparsely had some events between then and 2020. But when Isaias came through, 5 tornadoes in one day for the state of Delaware. It's a small state, area-wise. So that is a lot, and that was a record for that one day. And unfortunately, we had one fatality also with the tornado that came through a year ago, Bridgeville, Greenwood, Ellendale. But that was a unique day. From a weather standpoint, we look at these storms that come through. They're usually lower-based hybrid supercells that are high precipitation a lot of the times. Tough to see the tornadoes if they happen. They're rain-wrapped. That day, this was a high this was a low precipitation, supercell, what we call an LP supercell, high-based supercell. The tornado that occurred that day was like the ones you see in the upper Midwest, where the storm chasers are the real picturesque ones, because you can have blue sky right behind the wall cloud where the tornado is, and it's very easy to see.
Well, the tornado that did occur almost a year ago, around April 1st, it was the strongest tornado of that day. And why it was able to be so strong was because it was the only tornado that day. I think it was 9 tornadoes reported that day during the outbreak, and a lot of them in New Jersey up north. Was that this was a loner. It was the only supercell tornado. And when you get this isolated cell, it's able to intake a lot of the energy, the instability, and use it for itself. There's no competition. So it was the only isolated supercell-driven tornado. It was the strongest as well. And the rest was along what we call quasi-linear convective system, along a really strong cold front. And those weren't as strong, EF2s, EF1s. That was the only EF3 tornado during that day.
And that was two most severe weather days, as you were mentioning. We had the supercell, the lone supercell.
The only supercell of that outbreak.
Of that outbreak, right. That was the first mode of the day for severe weather. The second mode was that quasi-linear convective system, or that line of storms that came through later in the evening. That actually prompted, I believe, 2 tornado warnings. I'd have to go back and look, but at least one in the Wicomico County area. There were no official reports of touchdowns. We didn't see that actually occur, but that second wave of storms actually impacted far more people with high winds, heavy rain, and there was a lot of cloud to ground lightning. So from that standpoint, that severe weather event was kind of cut into two situations there. And unfortunate for, at that point, the cleanup efforts from the EF3 tornado earlier in the day, those folks had to deal with that second round of storms coming through, which certainly added to the headaches of that day. But not unique in the fact that severe weather in April happens in the mid-Atlantic. It does. And, you know, as we're recording this on a Tuesday, we're looking at our first multi-day severe weather threat of the season. Not a really high-end one for us, but still the threat for some stronger storms for Tuesday, but especially as a lot of people downloading and listening here on a Wednesday. Again, if you are listening to this, you know, we record this a day before. Go to WMDT.com. Check out the latest with the forecast. Of course, join us over on 47 ABC for the update on thunderstorms coming through. But Eric, we're looking toward the end of the week here. Showers moving out slowly. We're getting into some chillier air again for the weekend. But you know, this timing, even despite any temperature change, couldn't be better because of the solar eclipse coming Monday.
It could not be any better by the looks of it.
It's looking good. Monday afternoon, we're looking at the solar eclipse, and you are getting a chance to see the totality in full. We're going to see a decent amount here, but where you're going?
I'm traveling up to northern New York, so I actually will not be here for the Sunday evening newscast. You'll be filling in for me because I'm traveling up north. It'll be about a 9-hour drive. I'll be making stops, so probably more than that. But honestly, it will be worth it because the next solar eclipse won't happen until 2044. And in the United States, that solar eclipse will only be visible in Montana and North Dakota and through Canada. So it's like, I got to do this.
You got to do it.
And you're talking about timing with the departure of this storm now, the storm that will be providing us with rain and thunderstorms for the next couple of days. It'll be a much longer duration event in places like northern New York and New England as a long duration winter storm of all things. But It could not be exiting and departing at a more perfect time because it's departing this weekend. The forecast could not be looking any more promising by Monday. We're looking at a good amount of sunshine for northern New York on eclipse day with multiple days of clouds and showers.
So where are you headed exactly in the path?
I'm heading to Plattsburgh, New York.
Okay.
And that place is going to be not only within the path of totality, but in the direct center of the path of totality.
That's going to be so cool.
So that means I'm getting the longest amount of totality. So I think I'll be in about 3.5 minutes of totality. Complete totality.
Complete darkness.
That's a long time. So that is my plan. Same thing with around here. The peak time is going to be at around like 3:30 in the afternoon or so. Here in Salisbury, we're going to get about an 86% coverage of the sun, which is still a show in and of itself, but you can't beat totality.
No.
You just can't.
And I've heard from multiple people who have been in these events before. I have been in partial events. I've never been in a full totality eclipse. But, you know, nothing, like you said, beats totality.
Nothing
even
beats 90%, totality.
95%.
Now,
you need totality to get the full experience.
I actually went to South Carolina for the 2017 eclipse. But during that day, a big puffy cumulus cloud got in the way.
Oh, man.
A lot of the day was actually was clear, but the puffy cumulus clouds came into to semi-ruin the fun, but it was still really cool because you know what I experienced? The night critters were coming out, the crickets and all that came out when it got dark still. And then when it started brightening up again, you can hear the birds chirping like what you hear in dawn. You heard the cycles of the animals, almost like going through the motions of like going from night to day. It was really cool. So I still got a really cool experience. Now, since this is my second eclipse, yeah, I've experienced that, but now I would like to experience it with a nice clear sky.
So
it looks more promising for this sort of eclipse.
So you mentioned, totality where you're going here in Salisbury, Delmarva,
yes.
Mid-Atlantic in general. Upper 80 percentile, mid to 80 percentile coverage. Sounds like a lot, and it will be, a very cool event nonetheless. Not as cool as where you're going, but it'll be cool for people to see, and a lot of experiments going on with the kids and, with the moon partially blocking the sun. So all these cool things going on that people will be able to
witness. What's also interesting is that when you're in the complete path of totality, and you can only see this with the path of totality, you could see. Of course, when you're looking at the solar eclipse, you need proper eye protection. Sunglasses, no, absolutely not. Do not wear regular sunglasses and think that's going to protect
your eyes. Folks, if you're listening right now, I let's reiterate that. What Eric is saying
is incredibly
important.
Do not think regular sunglasses will protect your eyes. That's an absolute no-no. You need proper eye protection, one that is certified by the astronomical
American Astronomical Society. I knew where you were going with
Society.
That. The AAS.
And the ISO certification, one that meets those IS certification standards, which was established in 2015. You want to make sure you're getting the right, proper
eye
protection.
It is easy to get these glasses.
Yeah.
I've been reading, and I've seen them already in a few stores, reading online, I believe Safeway, and that's for folks here locally. That would be Acme, more than likely. If not, you have your Walmarts, your Home Depots, places like that have been selling these glasses for a while. They're there. I talked to Jake before the podcast. They're inexpensive.
Yeah.
Go out, get yourself a pair of them. You will not be let down by this. And it's important, though, like you said, even if you're going to be in totality, it's only during totality where you could safely look, and that's only, what, three and a half minutes?
In the path totality, pretty long-lasting, actually.
Right.
I don't even think the 2044 one is going to be as long duration. But regardless, I was mentioning that because I was going into when you're the path of totality and you're looking at the site of the eclipse during totality, you can see what's called the corona, which is the sun's atmosphere.
That's going to be so cool to see of that.
Of course, I am going to be taking a picture of the video of the surrounding environment during the eclipse. I will be sending it to you guys, so maybe you can show it during the newscast.
And that, I was going to say, anything that you send, we're going to put on the newscast. So you want to tune in.
I made the mistake of not recording the 2017 one. I will not make that mistake for this one.
There you go. We'll hold you to it because I'm going to be living through you for this up there. So we'll have that. Anything that you send in to me, I'll have on the news maybe even as early as the news hour that day on Monday, the 8th, which is 5:30 to 6:30, but also at 10 and 11 o'clock on the CW and back over on 47 ABC for those of you locally. So we will show what Eric has to offer as far as being in the path of totality with the eclipse. And just to let everybody know, here in Delmarva, how you can see it, it should be starting sometime after 2 o'clock and gradually getting up to 86% coverage.
Yeah, so it will peak at 3:22 p.m. here in Salisbury.
And then eventually it will wane probably between then and about 4:30-ish, something like that.
Yeah, it ends at 4:34. The entire partial eclipse, will be partial eclipse here, will end at 4:34.
So block that off, my friends.
It starts
at
2:06.
Block off a time in the afternoon, get yourself set up.
Yeah.
And enjoy it.
Hey, you know, it's partial eclipse. It's still a show.
It's still a show.
It's
still going to be really cool. You'll get that twilight ambiance into the sky. Very, like, just... I've been in a partial eclipse before, so I know that it's still such a cool
thing. Oh, when
was
that?
2017. I was in Dayton, Ohio for that. That was really cool to experience. I had the glasses and everything.
I'm looking forward to it. Like, every time I think back for the past few days, I just get the adrenaline. Like, I'm really, really, really excited.
Yeah.
Really excited.
Well, we're going to hear from Eric, and you know, we'll get your thoughts on that. And I'm sure we're also going to have some stuff on social media, too, on Facebook and X. So be sure to check Eric Alf's pages out as we get set for that
A few days ago, I posted an animation on what the eclipse will look like. You can scour around there.
And check that out. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you know where to go. Just look for Eric Alf on X or Facebook to check that out. And, you know, we'll be checking in with you, obviously, on Monday as you get to experience the
weather's wonderful looking great even down here event. In Delmarva.
Excellent.
By the time we get to Monday, just in time.
Excellent. And, of course, we want everybody at home, too, listening to this. If you want to share your pictures or videos of the eclipse, we would always love to see them, too. Weather@47abc.com. You can always just go to WMDT.com. And look for our email addresses on there. But I think this will be a perfect time to wrap it up here for this week's edition of WeatherWise. We'll, of course, have more to talk about with the eclipse next week. And looking into April, we're getting into the thick of severe weather season as it starts to ramp up here.
We're already seeing evidence of it these next couple of days.
Yep. And
we will. Threat, so we'll keep an eye on that.
We will keep an eye on that and keep you updated on what's happening and talk more about what we expect for the rest of the month of April here in the Mid-Atlantic. But for meteorologist Eric Alf, myself, I'm Chief Meteorologist Rich Borzik. Thanks again for listening and downloading and streaming another edition of WeatherWise, the podcast from the meteorologist at 47 ABC WMDT. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.